Start here. As we get to a lesson eight in the second half of four and going into some of five, we want to recognize and go back again to the fact that we are embodied beings, that we have this body that we encounter the world with. So we often think, and we have thought for couple hundred years now, we've thought that the best way to be able to train ourselves and shape ourselves is to give ourselves a lot of information. So that things like when I first started teaching in schools, it was the first year I taught, the program came out, the DARE program. Anybody remember the DARE program? Okay, big deal, right? The DARE program came out. And so I think it was once a week, we would bring everyone in the pod all together, and we would teach them and give them an enormous amount of information about drugs so that we would help them to avoid ever being drug addicted, right? Yeah. So we gave them lots and lots of information. 10 years down the road, they discovered it was the biggest failure ever. Yep. Absolutely biggest failure. One of the biggest waste of money and time that they've ever done in schools up to that point. We've done a lot more since. Because they failed to take into account that we are embodied people. We are not minds on a stick. We are not first encountering the world with our minds. We encounter the world first with our bodies. So the fact that we are embodied people is a big deal. We have to take that into account because that is what shapes us, encountering the world with our bodies. So that when we encounter the world with our bodies, there's actually specific pieces of our bodies that we encounter the world with, and you'll begin to understand why we use some of the words we use. But before we encounter the world with our mind, we encounter the world with our gut. That's actually the very first place that we encounter the world. For example, if all of a sudden crawling underneath Donna's chair is a snake, what's the first reaction? Right? Everybody does this, right? Did you, when you saw the snake, say, okay, now that's a snake. Snakes are harmless. Snakes are, where could that snake have come from? The snake probably came from the gut. Did you think through a list of facts about the snake? You didn't encounter it with your mind first. Did you encounter it then perhaps, because Christians for many years against the Enlightenment said, well, we're not primarily thinking beings. Remember, for a long time it was, I think, therefore I am. Christians said, well, no, we're believing creatures. We believe first. So if that's the case, when I saw the snake, did I say, now, what do I believe? I believe that I can overpower the snake. I can handle a poisonous snake because God says in the Bible that we can handle poisonous snakes. Did you think that?
No.
No, because believing comes from the mind. So we didn't encounter the snake with our mind or with our beliefs, either one. What did we encounter it with? An instinct, a feeling of, right? Almost to a T, pull it back. So that what we're finding and what sociologists are finding is that the place of the most neurons in your body, the most sensory neurons in your body is your gut. Not your brain, which is the second place it has, but it's your gut. So it's that whole area of your digestive system, the ENT, so that's a nervous system that we don't talk about a lot, but they're discovering more and more that that's actually where we first encounter the world, is with our gut. The ancients knew that. They always talked about that. In fact, in the Old Testament, if your translator was really good, your translations say a lot of the times that in your gut, they'll talk about gut a lot. We translate it as heart. We translate it as heart. Sometimes mind, because you'll see that today. But we translate it as heart. And we do that because we think of the heart as the center of your being. Now, when we talk about love the Lord with all your heart, do we mean the muscle that's up here?
No.
What do we mean by that?
Your gut.
Your gut. We actually mean your gut, that hardly tangible feeling, but it actually is a physical place of your gut. It's how you feel. In other words, we have lots of ways to talk about that. If I read a horrible story, I say it's gut-wrenching, right? We have a lot of those things. What's your gut feeling about this? I don't want to know what your mind is thinking. I want to know what's your gut feeling.
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut.
Or you see something tragic and you feel nauseous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. When something's scary going to happen or something like is uncomfortable, like you know things aren't right, what happens? Yeah, like, or if it's a nice feeling, we say it's butterflies in your stomach, right? Mm-hmm. All of those things talk to the fact that we encounter the world first with our guts. So the ancients knew that. That's how they, if you look in your Greek, you'll realize that they use, I wish I could say the word, what they use for what we say heart. But even the Eastern mind today talks about the gut being the center. So we say the heart is the center. In fact, where we get the word heart is core, from the Latin core. So we say it's the core. So when we talk about heart, we're really talking about gut, that place where we first encounter the world. That's the place where we first encounter. And it's a way of knowing that is different from the knowing of our brain. So we need to know that so that when we encounter some of these words in Scripture, we understand what the ancients thought they were talking about as opposed to us. So a lot of times we flip things and we begin to put it in our context without translating into what does that really mean. So a lot of times when they say something like understanding means the gut feeling, the pull that your gut is bringing to you. They're also finding out that if your diet is full of a lot of sugar, simple carbs, that sometimes you will have so many of those bacteria in your gut, literally those bacteria in your gut act like a magnet. So that when you're just craving all the time, craving sweets, craving breads, that's a physiological mechanism going on, that the bacteria in your gut are literally like going like this, wanting more because it's feeding them. That's what they have. So we're finding more and more that our guts physiologically actually reach out for the things they want. So what we learn then from that, pairing that with what Scripture tells us how we're created, Scripture says we're created for relationship. That's what we're first created for. That we are desiring beings, that we're created to desire relationship. So that a desire for the other, for people, is the fact that our heart and our gut look for connection. We desire in our gut, this instinctive looking to be connected and engaged. And it's interesting that Scripture tells us that when we're finding out in science that literally our gut reaches out for things it desires. Literally does that. And I think that's fascinating. I watched a video about what happens in the gut a couple weeks ago, and it just freaked me out to think that. So addictions, mostly addictions, are literally your gut screaming for something that is feeding the bad bacteria in there. It's literally doing that. And the video was horrible. It was like these bacteria is going like this. Oh.
Should we
I know what?
Is your phone, your microphone?
Yes, my microphone. Sorry. Thank you.